Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
1 Peter 5, verse 7. Let's get right into our Bible lesson today. We're finishing a series on what do you do when you're overwhelmed and you feel overloaded. I think that's very relative to where we're all at right now and going through COVID and then Delta and the next one after that and the next one after that and whatever may come. We're all being overwhelmed at one time or another. We're all going through new challenges that we've never done before. I want to help you through those challenges. Is that okay? I want to help you through those challenges. I was watching our online campus before I came down from my office. And it was precious because I heard people online chatting saying, if it wasn't for Church on the Rock, I couldn't have made it through what we're going through. And that's why we're here, right? To bring stability and strength to the saints. And those who ain't, make them a saint. Win the lost at any cost. So I'm here to help you through. I told you at the very beginning, a year ago, March, that I'm going to walk with you through this as your pastor. I'm going to equip you and feed you and give you the resources. It's up to you to use them, implement them, apply them. But we've been talking about the importance of relationships the last three weekends, the importance of relationships. And part of our culture here is the most important thing in life. It's not things, it's relationships. So what do you do when you're overwhelmed? The first relationship that's the most important is our relationship with God, right? Now, 1 Peter 5, 7, it says, cast all your care on him, for he cares for you. The Amplified says, cast all of your anxieties. It's not on the screen because I didn't give it to the guys ahead of time, okay? You're going to have to find it in your own Bible today. Whoa, I spoiled you, right? So you find it in your own Bible, but 1 Peter 5, 7, it says, cast all your cares. Everyone say all. Cast all your cares, all your worries, all your anxieties on the Lord, for he cares for you. Well, we found out that we have to have a relationship with the Lord. We have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We have to know him. And when you know him, you know that he cares for you, that he loves you like nobody else. For God so loved you so much, he gave his only begotten son. He gave his best. When you only have one son, that's your best son. When you only have one pair of shoes, those are your best pair of shoes. God gave his best for you and me so we could have his best in our life. So we see that what are we supposed to do with our care, our worry, our anxiety, the things that keep us up at night, the things we panic over? What are we to do with them? You know what most people do? They medicate. They medicate. Not meditate, they medicate. They get medicine. We go to a doctor, nothing wrong with doctors. We love doctors. We need doctors. We have doctors in our church. Thank God for doctors. Thank God for medicine. But that shouldn't be our first response, is to run to a doctor or to get medication to handle the stress of life. That is not God's will. Most people do that, though, now. When they can't handle the pressure, they say, Pastor, I'm overwhelmed, I'm overloaded, I would like to, I want to, but I can't because I got all these new responsibilities. My life has changed. And so what do? We medicate. We go get medicine to deal with our problems. Now, we're not against that, but that shouldn't be our first response. Our first response should not be a relationship with medicine or medicating our worries. But our first response should be our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he is the great physician, by the way. He is the great physician, the Bible says. He is really our healer today. Amen. So what do? We have to have a relationship with God. And that's so important. And we teach you how to do that here at Church on the Rock in this community. And then we said next is that we need the right people in our life. You might want to write this down. The wrong relationships in my life will derail me from my destiny. The wrong relationships in my life will derail me from my destiny. All you need is one Delilah in your life. Remember Samson and Delilah? He was the strongest man out there, but yet one woman ruined his life, one wrong person in his life. So the wrong people, the wrong relationships will derail us from our destiny. So I want to talk to you today about how to discover wise relationships for the last days. Wise relationships for the last days. We are in the last days. I don't believe it. Well, I really don't care because the Bible says we are, and I'm going to believe the Bible. I've heard it all my life. He hasn't come yet. Well, I would rather go to my grave believing he's coming today. I'd rather go to my grave in faith than in doubt. The last days, if you know your Bible, it says they started in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, when the church began, the church age, the day of Pentecost, Acts 2, it says that's when the last days began. So the last days began 2,000 years ago. What's God waiting on? People. That's what he's waiting on, the harvest. The Bible says we can actually speed up the return of Christ by winning souls. That's amazing. So I want to talk to you today about wise relationships for the last days, end times. And that's where you and I are. The next major event is the rapture, followed by the great tribulation, followed by the second coming. So the next great event that you and I are looking for is the blessed hope. The rapture of the church, the catching away. It could happen any second, any moment, any second, in the twinkling of an eye. The church will be taken up. And then the great tribulation, like no other tribulation, will follow. I've got Bobby Andian coming in a few weeks. I've asked him to teach on end times from the pulpit. He'll be here in the flesh. So we're excited about that. But I just want you to see that it's important that you have the right relationships for these last days that we're living in, because we don't want to be derailed from our destiny. So I'm going to show you how to do that today, but let's go to the Bible, Galatians chapter 6. Now I'm going to spoil you, but Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 through 5. Let's look at it. It says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. Now he's talking to Christians, ye which are spiritual. That word spiritual, you know, you and I, we want to grow spiritually. The fruit in my life, the fruit that's coming from my life is a result of the fellowship in my life. My friends in my life are determining the fruit that's coming out of my life. Wrong relationships will keep me from growing spiritually. Right relationships will cause me to improve spiritually. Let's go back to our relationship with God. 1 Peter 5, 7, cast, unload your load on the Lord because he cares for you. All of our worries, all our anxieties, we're not to medicate them away because they'll never go away through medication. They'll always be there when the medication is gone. So what are we to do? We're to cast them over on the Lord. What's going to happen when we do that? Spiritual growth. I can't grow through medication. But I can grow when I learn how to walk in faith. Amen, somebody? And again, I'm not against medication. So don't walk away and say, we are pro-medicine, pro-doctors, pro-nurses. Thank God. I think all healing comes from the Lord. But what I'm trying to share with you is depend upon God first. Run to him first. Get to know him because that's how you'll grow spiritually. By having to, getting to, wanting to unload your load on the Lord and then trusting him that he's going to work it out. Brethren, if a man or a woman be overtaken in a fault, Christians have faults. Christians have faults. Christians have faults. Well, I'm not going to that church because it's full of hypocrites. Come on down. One more. Won't bother us at all. We all have faults. All of God's children have faults. Don't say, well, I'm leaving that church because I got hurt. You're going to get hurt in the next church because all of God's people have faults. So be overtaken in a fault. You which are spiritual, restore them. I gave you takeaways last week. You know, we restore them. We don't reject them, right? we restore them, such as one of the spirit of meekness, do it with humility, lest you also be tempted in that same area. Verse 2. Bear you one another's burdens. So what are we to do with our burden? First of all, we're to give it to God, right? A burden is an anxiety, a load, a challenge, a weight, a hurt, a habit, a problem, an obstacle, a difficulty. That's a burden. Bear you one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ is love one another as he has loved us. So bear one another's burdens. Okay, verse 3. Let's go on to verse 4 for sake of time. And verse 5 for sake of time. For every man shall bear his own burden. Well, that sounds like a contradiction. Anytime you read the Bible and you think there's a contradiction, then there's something we don't know. Let me help you as a Bible teacher. Anytime you read the Bible and you think there's a contradiction, there's something there we don't know. We don't understand the text. We don't have the original Hebrew or Greek language. We haven't read it a chapter before, a chapter later. We don't understand the history, the culture of the Eastern world. So there's never a contradiction in the Word. So we have in verse 2, it says, bear one another's burden. Verse 5, it says, bear your own burden. That would sound like a contradiction, but it's not. The word burden for both scriptures is a different word for burden. The word burden for verse 2 is a heavy burden. You can't carry by yourself. Verse 5, the burden here is light. In fact, if you have an Amplified Bible, it says light burden. So that means there are heavy burdens and light burdens. The light burdens, we are to learn to carry it ourselves. We've already said there'll be times where the church won't respond to us, where people won't respond to us, and we could get offended, but mark it down. Usually God is taking them out of our life, so we'll depend on him alone and grow up spiritually and learn how to handle things and not be wimpy, crybaby Christians, right? But there are other times I can't carry it by myself. I'm doing everything I know to do. I need someone else. I need God first, and then I need wise people, the right people in my life to help me carry that load. That's where we need small groups. That's why we need church. You find relationships in church. Why do I need church? You can't find this relationship in the bar that you find at church. Ever thought about that? You can't find a relationship at the game or the dance or the disco or the hip-hop. You can't find a relationship there that you find here. You ever thought about that? Those relationships there don't have the same like faith that you do, the same values that you do, the same interests that you're supposed to have, and going to the same place that you're going. The relationships that you have in church are eternal. You're going to spend the rest of eternity together. You will not with unsaved people. They're going to hell. You're going to heaven. So church, why do I need church? Because there are times in my life I can't do it alone. There are times in my life I need a connection, a God-given connection, a small group, the dream team, the ministry of helps. I just need to connect with people of like precious faith. Does that make sense? All right. So we saw that was our foundational text. Please don't forget that there are times in our life that we need other people. That's why we need the local church. It's in the local church you learn how to get along with people. That's what we're supposed to do. Well, I thought the church was supposed to be perfect. No, if it was perfect, we couldn't grow. Iron sharpens iron. We need sandpaper to sand off the rough edges of our life. You learn how to get along. You learn how to love. You learn how to appreciate one another in the local church. It's a lab. The local church is a lab. You have relationships here you will never have out there at any event. So let's look at now Scripture, Mark 12:30. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Well, he wants total dedication, doesn't he? He wants total devotion. So this is the first commandment, isn't it? Love the Lord your God, not with half your heart, not with a portion of your heart, not with a weak heart, or lukewarm, cold heart, but with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. You're to love God with your mind and with all your strength. That would mean we give God our best, that we wouldn't, you know, halfway, half-heartedly serve Him. That it wouldn't be half mass in worship. I'm tired. No, we would give Him all of our strength. Okay? Think about it. Verse 31. The second is this. So that's the first commandment. This is the second commandment. Well, I thought there were the Ten Commandments. We don't even know what the Ten Commandments are. Come on, somebody. So how are we going to fulfill them when we can't name all ten of them? So what he did was, in the New Testament, the New Covenant, he combined all ten in these two. So if you do these two, you'll never do those ten. But how many of you know that we need God's help? We could never fulfill the law. We could never do all ten. And we can't do these two without God's help, without the Holy Spirit. The second is this: love your neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandment greater than these commandments. So these two commandments fulfill the Ten Commandments. Because we couldn't fulfill the Ten Commandments, that's why Jesus came. All right? So now we have these two commandments. The number one commandment that we should prioritize is love God with all your heart. So when you're looking for a wise relationship for the last days, you want to connect with people who've prioritized their life. And that is that their number one priority is to love God with all their heart. They're seeking a relationship with God more than anything else. And you being related to them causes you to seek God more than anything else. That's how you know you have the right relationship for the last days. Number two is that they should be learning how to love other people, not rejecting other people, not revealing their faults. Remember that? Not, you know, gossiping, not lying, not being offended, but learning how to love other people who are black or white, brown or white, Republican, Democrat, vaccinated or not, mask or not. Give me a break. So love the Lord your God, and then love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. So you want right relationships for the last days. How do I know the right relationship? What's their priorities in their life? So we're building here. Am I helping anybody? I woke y'all up on that, didn't I? That was my intention. Amen? So now watch this, Matthew 24. A lot of scripture today, but you know, we want to find out, what does the word say? Matthew 24, I'm going to read like 12 verses. Can you dig it? Okay. This is Jesus, red letter. This is what's going to happen in the last time, the last days, okay? This is what you and I are dealing with. As he sat up on the Mount of Olives, this is the Olivet course, he's teaching. The disciples came to him privately after he got done. Tell us, Jesus, when will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the world? Next verse, guys, help me. Verse 4. And Jesus answered and said to them, they wanted to know, when are you coming back the second time? When is the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no man deceive you. So great deception in the last days. All right. Next verse, guys, verse 5. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many people. Great deception's coming. Verse 6, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Is that going on? But Pastor, it's gone on forever. Not like it is today. And of wars, see that ye be not troubled. So what's our response? Don't be upset. Don't be troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Next verse, verse 7. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there'll be famines and pestilence. Pestilence? Pestilence? It's plural, right? Remember I told you one wave after another was coming? I told you that a year ago. And now you're seeing it, aren't you? Pestilence and earthquakes. Earthquakes? Didn't we just have one in Alaska that was huge? We did. Earthquakes? Well, Pastor, there's always been. Not like today. Go research it. Go check it out. There's more happening earthquakes than ever before in the history of the world in different places. Now, I just want to throw this out. This is a freebie, but you check it out. Look at the beginning of this verse. For nation shall rise against nation. Circle the word nation. It's actually talking about people groups. It's talking about ethnic groups. It's talking about people groups. Actually, some translations say this, don't lose your false teeth, race against race. It's talking about racism. Never seen it like we're seeing it today. It's a part of the end times. Pastor, what is going on with all of this? It's part of the end time events. The nation there is talking about an ethnic group, a people group, a particular race of people. Notice that race will go against race. We're seeing it like never before. What's going on? Last days. Last days. End times. Next verse, verse 8. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. They're beginning of sorrows. Verse 9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and they shall kill you. Whoa. Pastor, is that happening? It's happening in Afghanistan, isn't it? Aren't they killing Christians in Afghanistan? Aren't they chopping their heads off for their faith? Aren't they looking at their cell phones to find out if they have anything with Christian on it and they kill them? But yet we get to sit here and have a cupcake after church. Then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and they'll kill you. Well, it's not happening here. It's happening all over the world. It's happening in China. It's happening in Afghanistan. It's happening in Africa. You shall be hated. Whoa, Christians are going to be hated? Aren't we being accused of hate crimes like never before? Yes, we are. But see, Jesus said all of this is a part of the end time. Today, I'm talking to you about how to discover wise relationships for the last days. You shall be delivered up to be afflicted, and they're going to kill you. And you'll be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Verse 10. And then many shall be offended. Whoa. I mean, people are offended today at the drop of the hat, right? I mean, I've never seen it like I've seen it through COVID. People getting upset over little things that are diddly squat, don't matter, a hill of beans. And yet they lose it over something minimal. They shall be offended. Jesus said there's going to come offense. People are going to be ticked and angry like never before. Aren't we seeing that? Yes. Oh, yeah, we are. And betray one another. Aren't people turning in one another? Yes. They are, and they're going to do more of betraying one another. Betrayal one another, your neighbors, your family, your friends, betray one another. Look at this, and they're going to hate one another. Now, remember the disciples said, Jesus, when are you coming back? And he said, these are the signs, the symptoms of when I'm coming back. It's only the beginning. It's not the end yet. Many shall be offended. Well, we need to really work on the love walk. We need to really work on not letting that spirit that's in the world in the church. Many will be offended, and they'll betray one another. Who you thought were for you, you're going to find out, you know, that they're not. Over little piddly things, and they'll hate one another. This is the Bible now. This is not blunt. Okay? Verse 11. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many people. Verse 12. And because iniquity will abound, what is that? Sin is going to increase. Sin is going to be, remember we talked about what used to be wrong is now right? What used to be right is now wrong? It's going to increase. Wrong is going to increase. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. The love of many shall wax cold. Those who used to love God won't. Those who used to love the church and serving and living for God won't any longer. You'll see those who used to love God, used to love the church, used to love the Word of God wax cold. Next verse, verse 13. Do not be deceived. Oh, okay, we're going to 1 Corinthians 15. That's cool. But go ahead and read. Sometime you get a chance the rest of that chapter. It's all end time events. But what I wanted you to see is in the world, in relationships, they're going to betray one another, turn on one another, learn to hate one another over little piddly things. Get their own little tribe, get their own little thing. Division is going to come. You know, they're telling us that it's coming. You're either part of a progressive church or a conservative church. Well, I want you to know right now, we are what you would call a conservative church. a progressive church, the term is really, they don't believe in the Bible anymore. They don't believe in the Word of God anymore. They don't believe in the family anymore. Well, I'm sorry. I used to say we were progressive. It's like I used to say I wore thongs. And all you young people, get ready, because as you get older, all your terms are going to grow old with you as well. I remember one time, I don't know where we're at, I said, grab me my thongs. And when I grew up, all you baby boomers, those were, now you call flip-flops. Right? Well, we used to be called, Church of the Rock used to be called a progressive church. We were the first one with bus ministry, the first one on television, the first one with a skate park, the first one with a youth center, the first one with a Saturday night church. But now, we can't call ourselves progressive. Because if you're labeled a progressive pastor or church, you're now against the Word. It's not relevant for today. We make our own rules. We make our own way. We blend in with the culture. Not going to do that here. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. So love of many is going to wax cold. We're talking about relationships. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be deceived and misled. Evil relationships, communion, and associations will corrupt you. Deprave good manners and morals. Notice who I run with affects my morals. If they have no morals, and I let my kids run with them, guess what? My kids are going to wind up with no godly morals. That's why you need to know who you're running with. What are their values? What are their morals? What's the history of their family? Don't be deceived and misled. Evil companionships, relationships, fellowships, communion, and associations will corrupt you, will corrupt good manners, morals, and affect your character. Who you run with affects our character. We're talking about wise relationships for the last days. Next verse, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Y'all still with me, family? Y'all still love your pastor? I sure love you. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them who have obtained what? Read it on the screen if you would. Obtain what? Like precious faith. Who should you be running with? People of like precious faith. Who should you be hanging with? People who have like precious faith. You should be fellowshipping with those of like precious faith, those who are prioritize their life that God's first, and they're learning how to love, accept, and believe in others at the same time. Amen? So, and notice that's who we're to hang with, is those of like precious faith. Like I said earlier, the relationships you get in this community, you cannot get at Busch Stadium. You cannot get watching the Blues. You cannot get at a disco, a hip-hop, or a bar. The same relationship. Are you against all that? I'm not against any of that. Well, we're to go into the world, but we're to be separate from the world. We're to be salt and light, but we're not to compromise. Okay? So I'm just giving you scriptures that talk about the importance of relationships, and you're seeing them deteriorate. That's a part of the end times. You're seeing people who once loved God, loved people, loved the Word. Their love is waxing cold through COVID. Next verse, Hebrews 10:24. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. It's talking about the church. They say Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. Let us consider how we may consider. Think about how can we motivate, inspire, encourage one another to love one another and to do good works. Next verse, verse 25. Not giving up. How many people during COVID have given up meeting together? Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. Neil, you were with John Maxwell this last week. I remember John Maxwell saying at the very beginning of COVID, the very first month, John Maxwell, I heard him say this, during COVID, people are going to get the wrong habits. He said, during COVID, people are going to pick up the wrong habits, and they're going to come out of this thing a different person because they picked up the wrong, not the right, wrong habits. So get ready to deal with it. Think about it. Not giving up. See, my character is a reflection of my habits. My character is a reflection of my habits. Show me the habits of the person you're dating, and I'll tell you their character. Show me the habits of the person you're dating, and I'll show you their character. Single person. Not giving up meeting together. In the last days, we need one another. We need to gather, whether it's in large or small. We can't make it. This is a burden that we can't carry by ourselves. I was listening to the third largest church in America, third largest church in America, as far as the kind of churches that you and I are part of. And the pastor got up this week and he said this: our church is full of trouble and problems, and people are going crazy. Third largest church in America like ours. And the pastor got up and said, my staff quit. A lot of my staff have left the church. They've left the ministry. They've gone back out into the world. He said, our church is a mess. Pray for us. Show me a person's habits, and I'll show you their character. Godly men. Not giving up meeting together. We need one another like never before. I got to hustle. The cupcakes are melting. As some are in the habit, everybody say habit. Church should be a habit. Small groups should be a habit. Ministry team should be a habit. Gathering with a faith buddy should be a habit. Well, you go to church, it's just a habit. Good, right on, groovy. Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but we need to encourage one another all the more. Not less when life gets hard, all the more. Online, on campus, VR, whatever, all the more. As you see the end times approaching. Wow. So what are we saying? We're building a case that we need one another. There are burdens we can't carry alone. One of them is COVID, Delta, and the next one. And we need one another. We need church. We need relationships. And wherever you are, I just say, connect. Find a faith friend. Find a faith buddy. Find somebody who their priorities are right on. God first, and then loving other people. Next verse. Do I got any more verses? Yeah, Proverbs 13:20. He that walketh with wise people, as Isaiah comes out, will be wise. But a companion of fools will be destroyed. We pick up the character of the people we're running with. We pick up the morals of the people we're running with. All right? So now, let me give to you, as we close today, you don't want to leave yet, because I want to give you now how to discover, real quick, won't take long, how to discover right relationships for the last days. Wrong relationships will derail your destiny. So you can't afford that. Questions to ask yourself how to find wise relationships. Real simple. I've got seven questions. Number one, what have your friends got you doing? What have your relationships got you doing? Have they got you coming to church or not? Reading your Bible or not? Praying or not? Praising or not? Giving, tithing or not? Developing your family or not? Drawing closer to God or not? What have your friends got you doing? That's huge. Number two, what have they got me listening to? CNN, Fox News, ABC, NBC, CBS? What have they got me listening to? What have they got me listening? Because what they're listening to, I'll start listening to. And I'll take on the fear or the faith. I'll take on the fear or the faith. It's called a spirit that's contagious. We're worried about getting, you know, a virus. Well, we get whatever they have. Who we run with. We're so concerned about the virus, and we should be. But how about their attitudes? How about their actions, their character, their behavior? We're more concerned about some spit, and we should be. But we should also be concerned about their behavior. What have they got me listening to? It's life or death, my brother and sister. It's life or death. I'm trying to give a clarion call to prepare you for the future. What they got me listening to. Number three, what have they got me reading? What have they got me reading? What have they got me reading? Do they have me reading the Bible? Do they give me a hunger for the Word? Or do they want to argue all the time the Word when I'm with them? Do they want to debate scriptures? Do they want to be argumentative? The Bible says stay away from those people. Did you know that? In Timothy, it says stay away from people who want to argue with you over the Word. What have they got me reading? I need to analyze that, because wrong relationships will derail my destiny. Right relationships will cause me to improve spiritually, get closer to God, and learn how to love people. What have they got me reading? Number four, where have they got me going? Do they got me going? You know, I'm hearing this, not from y'all. You realize this is going out on television. This is going out on all kinds of platforms, right? What have they got me? Where have they got me going? Am I going? Don't bother me on the weekend, Pastor. Do you know I'm hearing that now? Don't bother me on the weekend. You can contact me during the week, but don't bother me on the weekend. I'm hearing that. America needs revival. Where have they got me going? Where am I going? Where am I hanging out? Who am I hanging out with? Where have they got me going? Because where they're going, that's where I'm going. Number five, what have they got me thinking? What have they got me thinking? Whatever they're thinking, I'm going to catch it. Mask or no mask, vaccine or no vaccine, and I'm not against any of it. I am neutral. I am pro-people. But what have they got me thinking? Am I thinking the worst all the time? Negative, cynical, critical, racism, bigotry? What have they got me thinking? Is that all they talk about? Is that all they think about? Is their hurt, their pain, their past? What have they got me thinking? Number six, what have they got me feeling? What have they got me feeling? Man, I want people, when they're around you and me, to feel better. I want them to walk away better, feeling better, being uplifted, being encouraged. Somebody said that encouragement is like oxygen to our soul. We can't live without oxygen. We can't live without encouragement. How have they got me feeling? Do I feel worse when I'm around? Do I feel like going, getting drunk, getting high, taking some cocaine and meth, smoking some marijuana, giving up, walking out? What have they got me feeling when I'm around them? We're talking about wise relationships for the last days. All I want to talk about is politics. I don't want to talk about politics. Daniel and I went and got our hair cut out in California about 2 months ago, a place we like in California. I loved it. Some guy walked in there and started to talk about politics. They said, hey, in here we don't talk sports, we don't talk politics, and we don't talk religion. And that was in California. And I said, amen. I didn't go in there to talk religion or politics, you know, or sports. Boy, it's getting quiet in this Church on the Rock house. Well, they got me feeling. Number seven, what they got me saying? Whatever they're saying, I'm going to start saying. It's natural. I catch it. Whatever they're saying, we're talking about last days. We are in the last days. Pastor, I've heard that all my life. So have I. But I'd rather go to my grave believing that this could be the last day than go into my grave doubting and not prepared. So what have they got me saying? Whatever they're saying, I'm saying. Anti-church, anti-God, anti-certain race or group of people. And whatever they're saying, I'm saying. So I need to be selective. I need to take inventory. I need to ask myself these seven questions, and that will help us to discern and not be deceived. And our house won't fall like Humpty Dumpty off the wall. But you and I will grow in these times, get stronger in these times, get closer to God in these times. Our light will shine brighter in these times. We'll be hope peddlers in this time. Come on, somebody, give the Lord a praise. I'm out of time. Let's thank God for the Word today.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.